Good morning and welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. We are blessed that you are here to worship our risen Savior Jesus Christ with us here this morning. As we open this time of praise and worship, would you bow your heads and your hearts as we open with a time of prayer. Gracious God, we bow before you, Lord. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for the beautiful weather you have blessed us with. Most importantly, we thank you for the freedom that we have been blessed with here in this country to gather to worship you, to sing praises unto your holy name. And Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We invite you here to just quicken our minds and open our hearts and to impact our lives, all for your glory, that we might truly expand your kingdom each and every day. So Father, may you be in our midst today. May you find everything that is done, everything that is said to be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. And oh, Heavenly Christ, we gloriously, graciously, honorably exalt you today. We pray this in the mighty and the holy and the matchless name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Amen. As we stand and get ready to praise our Lord, let's turn to our neighbor and say, God loves you. As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your love, the gift of being able to lean on you for everything, Lord. For one day, as all of us, our brothers and sisters, as one in love, will come together, and one day we'll get to meet you in heaven. One day our day will be there. And what a day that will be when we get to see you, our Lord. Lord, we thank you for the love you've given us, and we ask that you work in our lives and allow us to love others as you would expect us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign. When we all get to heaven, What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that would be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. We'll sing and shout the victory. We'll sing and shout the victory.
Lord, we thank you as we bow our heads. We thank you for allowing us to be able to sing and shout the victory of being able to be with you, Lord, one day. Allow us to walk this earth and just love you, and not only love you, but show your love, just as you sent your only son, Jesus, as his wonderful example that walked this earth, his love and compassion. Allow us to have that love and compassion for our dear brothers and sisters, Lord, and for the world that is hurting, that needs you more than ever, Lord. Allow us to be that light and that example. Because one day it would be so nice to be able to see you. And Lord, not only that, Lord, this wonderful, wonderful song, What the Lord Has Done in Me, allow that to be the example. Allow that to be what we think about. For the love you gave us, all that you've done for us, What the Lord Has Done in Me. Lord, we thank you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me. Let the weak say, died and rose again. To the river I will wade. Songs. Jesus Christ has set me free. Jesus died and rose again.
say I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich. Let the blind say I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me.
As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful love. We thank you for what you have done in us. Just as those words say, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see, for it's what the Lord has done in me. Your true love that radiates, Lord, allow us to have that example. Allow us to understand that love and allow us to turn to our brothers and sisters and have that same love. Allow us to turn to the world and have that love. We thank you for what you're doing, Lord, not only in this church, but in our lives. We ask all this in your wonderful, glorious name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. At this time, I would like to invite the graduates to come forward. We have three, I believe. Chris, if you would come forward too. Stand right over here. This morning we want to honor the graduates, and we have Jacob Blasi, and we have Chris Holcomb, and Anthony Latta Jr., otherwise known as Tony. So basically, we have a gift for them, and each one of these young men have graduated from high school, and as we honor their accomplishments, you know, in their life thus far, I would just like to have us have a time of prayer that we could pray over them, pray God's blessing for them, pray his protection in their life. And so if you would join with me as we honor these three young men on this milestone in their life, may we just join together in a word of prayer here this morning. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for the blessing that you have given to us to be a part of these young men's lives thus far. We praise you and we honor you. We pray a blessing over them. We pray that you would minister to them, that you would keep them safe and keep them strong. And Father, that you would grant them favor all the days of their life as they go forward. May they just honor you. May they bless you. And may they serve you and expand your kingdom each and every day. And so, Father, it's been a blessing to have them as a part of our congregation thus far. And we just anticipate many more years of just joyful relationships with them as they grow and encounter life as you have it for them. And so, Father, be in their life, we ask. May we be a blessing to them as we pray for them, as we commit to support them, as we commit to just honor them by being there for them. We pray this in the mighty name of the risen Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. Before they're seated, let's all give everyone, you know, these three a round of applause here this morning. Okay, thanks, guys. Before we continue this time of worship, I just want to highlight a couple brief announcements. Immediately following worship today, right here in the sanctuary, we will be having a brief meeting to discuss the upcoming fellowship trip. And I believe Julie said we'll be meeting right over here just for about 2 to 3, maybe 5 minutes. And then immediately after that, we will be having our post-vacation Bible school follow-up meeting to discuss what went well, what we could improve on, and maybe some different changes. So if you were a part of Vacation Bible School this year, we invite you to stay for another 15, 20 minutes after the service just to share your insights and share your ideas as to how we can improve next year. And so make note of those two meetings. Also, you will notice that Sunday, August the 7th, following worship, there will be a fellowship potluck lunch, immediately following the worship service in the fellowship hall. So mark your calendars and please plan to be involved with that. I'll just highlight the prayer and praises concerns inside your bulletin. Please continue to add these individuals to your individual prayers, and may we just join together to lift them up before the Lord. Junior worship is now dismissed for those in kindergarten through fifth grade. We have a special ministry prepared especially for you this morning. This morning's scripture reading is found in the book of 1 John. We will be reading verses 10 through 21 of the fourth chapter, and you will find this on page 1902. So follow along as we listen to a reading from the book of 1 John, chapter 4, verses 10 through 21. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete or perfect in us. We know that we live in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of Man, God lives in Him and He in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete or perfect among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. May God bless the reading of his word. As we continue this time of worship with the giving of our tithes and offerings, if the ushers would please come, may we give back to God a portion of what he has blessed us with.
As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down, come on down. Oh, brothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sinners, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sinners, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way.
Our gracious, ever-loving Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you for all the many blessings that you so graciously grant unto us each and every day. We placed on your altar this morning just a part of those blessings with our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them. Bless them and multiply them in your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. Dr. G. Campbell Morgan, who was a famous British preacher, he had five sons, and each one of these sons, they became ministers of the gospel. One day a visitor was in their home, and the visitor dared to ask a personal question. And he posed this question to all six of the preachers of the household. He said, "Which of you six is the best preacher?" Their united answer was, "Mother." Listen to this. Let us break this down. And of course, you know, the five sons as moms and Dr. G. Campbell's wife, she had never preached a sermon in her life. And she, although never preached a formal sermon in a church, her life was a constant sermon on the love of God. Friends, the life of a Christian who abides in God's love is a potent witness for God in the world. And people cannot see God, but they can see God's love moving in us to deeds of helpfulness and kindness. This morning, I just want to share with you out of the book of 1 John that truly, friends, God wants you and me to be part of His family. If you get nothing else this morning, I'm going to break it down here in a few moments, Lord willing, and I'm going to tell us why it's so vitally important that you and I, and sometimes we think we are a part of His family, but in all reality, we're really not. And I hope to break it down for us so that we will see what's at stake, to see what's at the cost of being part of His family. And that's God's heart for you and for me, that God wants you, He wants me. And I've put it right in your bulletin. And maybe we could all say that together, right on the top of the sermon notes, if you see that on the inside part of your bulletin. Let's all say that together. God wants me to be part of His family. Let that sink in. He wants that so much for you and for me that we see His heart in this fourth chapter of the book of 1 John. And if we could go to the first slide. You see, God desires. He so loved you and me in past tense, even before you were created, even before you were born, even before I was created, even before I was born. God loved you. He knew you before the creation of the world. And that past tense is essential that we understand that this is not a fickle love. It's not a flippant love. It's not a love that is unflappable. It's a love that is true and endearing. It's a lasting love. He loved you and He continues to love you this day. And He did this, and because of this love, and because it is who He is, it's not something He does. We need to understand that. You see, God is love. And so He doesn't give you an action of Him. He gives you part of Himself. And this is His desire, that He wants you and He wants me to be part of His family. And because of that, He gives us His own Spirit. And so for those of us who have received Jesus as their Lord and Savior and have been adopted as sons and daughters of God into His family, we actually have God living in us. We have the power that raised Jesus from the dead to live in us. And it's there, friends. Although sometimes in our lives it becomes dormant because we don't activate it. It becomes, you know, just placated because we don't, you know, essentially empower it or give it the free rein in our life. But it nonetheless is there. And that is how much God loves you. There's a huge difference between giving something from a person and then giving something that is part of that person. When my niece was young, her love language, if you're familiar with Gary Chapman's five love languages, her love language was time, spelled T-I-M-E. So much so that I would be watching a football game, and it was always like the AFC-NFC championship game, fourth quarter, 2 minutes left, and you know the score is tied and one team is driving, that she wanted my attention, undivided attention. She would walk over, she would grab the remote, and she would turn to the TV, and she would say, "Click." And the TV would go off. And at first, the first couple times that she did that, I'm thinking, "No, what are you doing? You know, the game's on." But then I began to realize, no, what's important is that I give her of myself. I don't give her a gift. I don't give her some little trinket that sits on a shelf that just collects dust. What she truly wants is she wants me. She wants my heart. And that is what God does for you, friends. He so loved you that He gave you Himself. And we see later on this that God the Father has sent His Son, Jesus, as the Savior of the world, that whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him. Abides means to live in. And he abides or she abides in God. And so God lives in you. God dwells with you. I could go all the way back to the Old Testament in Genesis where, you know, Adam and Eve were walking in the cool of the day and they walked. Well, friends, God is spirit. He doesn't walk. What does that mean? It means that he related to them in an intimate relationship on a fellowship basis. And so then sin entered into the world. And just bear with me. And when sin entered into the world, Adam and Eve, in an act of mercy, were thrown out of the garden. Because God didn't want you or me to live forever in a state of disconnectedness from him, a holy God. And so God knew, I need to repair this relationship. I need to restore this relationship because I love these people. And so he created, you know, the element of saying, hey, to the Israelites, you know, put up this tent and I will dwell in that tent. And every time the Shekinah glory of God was upon that tent, all of the Israelites would turn and look. And then eventually Solomon built a glorious temple for God to dwell in. Well, you know what's neat, friends? When Jesus came to the earth and he walked on this earth, and then he died and he rose again and God accepted his sacrifice, then he said, I will send you another helper. I will send you another one just like me. And he was talking about the Holy Spirit, another one with the same characteristics, attributes, and qualities as Jesus. And that's the Holy Spirit. And he says, I will send him to you. And then we're told in Corinthians that you and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And so God repaired this relationship to such a degree that you are a walking temple. I am a walking temple of the living Lord, that the Shekinah glory of God lives in. He lives in you. God lives in you. And this is how much he loved you, because he wants you and me to be part of his family. He doesn't want us to be like, you know, the individual that's on the outskirts, the second or third cousin. No, God wants you and me to be part of his family. He wants us to experience the blessings of what it means to be a child of God. We can look at the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14, and we would see that to all who believed in him, meaning Jesus Christ, he gave them the right to become children of God. He gave you and me that right because he wants you, he wants me to be part of his family. So much so that it cost him everything. It cost him his only son, his only unique son, the only son that there is no other like, because Jesus is God and he sent him for your benefit and for my benefit. That's how much he loved us. That's how much he loves us in the present tense. It's that self-sacrificing love. And friends, God lives in you if you have confessed that Jesus is the Son of God. And we live in God if we have confessed that. Because he wants you, he wants me to be part of his family. The second thing that I want you to notice this morning is that God wants me to experience his blessings. I think we all need to say that together too. Because sometimes I think that when we think we're part of a family of God, we don't understand what we are signing up for. And friends, we are signing up to receive his blessings. So let's say that all together. God wants me to experience his blessings. I want to break this down and I want to share with you this morning out of the fourth chapter of the book of 1 John what these blessings are. And Jesus' blessings, if we could move on, please. Jesus' blessings. The person who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. I want you to notice, the blessings of Jesus is confidence. You know, I was having a conversation with someone not too long ago, and the conversation went like this, where, you know, there's a situation where people are kind of hesitating on their belief about God. And they're not standing on the true biblical belief. And this conversation that I've had several different times with numerous individuals, I began to share with them that, you know, until an individual says, I am going to believe the entire scripture, not just part of it, friends, the entire scripture from Genesis to Revelation, and I am going to live according to that scripture, then they will not have confidence in areas of their life. There will be aspects of their life that they will waffle, that they will waver. When we say that I'm not going to agree with God's word in one portion, we are saying, in essentially, that we are not going to agree with his word in entirety. We need to understand that. And friends, Jesus is blessing to you and to me, because when we abide in God and God abides in us, in 17 it says, in this is love, and it's his love is perfected. And this is what it means to have God's love perfected in you and in me. It's to walk in confidence, to hold your head high, to acknowledge that the eternal I am, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who was and is and will always be, has adopted you into his family, because he so loves you that he wants you and me to be part of his family. And I don't know, friends, but that should give us a sense of confidence. It should give us a sense of confidence in our life that we walk with the spring in our step, a sense of confidence that we don't have to be people pleasers in this world, a sense of confidence because God has given us an eternal purpose, a sense of confidence to acknowledge that we are living in relationship with the one who created you and me. A sense of confidence to acknowledge that he knows the future and we shouldn't fear it. And that's the second blessing. There is no fear in love, but perfect love. You see, when we allow God to perfect or complete his love in us, then it drives out fear, because we acknowledge who God is and what he is powerful and capable of and what he has done. And when we acknowledge that, then the fear in our life is crowded out, because it's like our heart is saying, I only have so much room. And either fear is going to live in my heart or love is going to live in my heart. And it's up to us whether or not we allow the residence to take up residence in our heart. And the resident could be fear, it could be love. And friends, the issue here is being part of God's family. And we'll get to what I alluded to earlier. This is Jesus' blessing. Perfect love casts out fear. Now, for fear has to do with punishment, and he who fears is not perfected in love. I don't know about you, but I've met numerous Christians that, you know, they're kind of hesitant that Jesus is going to return. I long for the day, friends. I long for that day. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Our world is a mess. I'm ready. I'm ready to go home. I am ready. I am so ever ready. You see, the perfect love, when God's love is made complete and perfected in us, we don't have to fear what we will do when we stand before the judgment seat of God, because all of us will stand, because the scripture in this text says we will be like Jesus, and he will treat you and me, of those of us who are in Christ and are in his family, he will treat us like he treats Jesus, as sons and daughters. That's love, friends. That is love. The third blessing is a life of peace. When you and I experience the confidence, you and I experience that lack of fear, we should have a sense of peace in our life that is like still waters that run deep. And that's exactly what it is, friends. Still waters that run deep. And that's the peace of God. Because the peace of God, it emanates from the depths of your soul. The peace of God, it comes forth from deep within. And God's peace is a true blessing. Because this world is trying to steal, kill, and destroy. This world is trying to steal your peace, to steal your confidence, to steal you and put you in a place of fear. And it's that peace of acknowledging that if Jesus is treated like the Son of God, which he is, and in this text, God says, I will treat you. You know, John says, we don't know what we will be like, but we know we will be like him, meaning that we will be treated as the Son of God because we have been adopted into his family. And that, my friends, is why God wants you and me to be part of his family, because he wants to treat you like a son. He wants to treat you like a daughter. And this peace that comes when his love is perfected in our hearts, minds, and soul, his peace comes forth when acknowledging that we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. That is peace. That's assurance. That's confidence. That is love made perfect. And it's a life not living in fear. It's a life living in love. And the last of his blessing is, I just alluded to it all, is it's a life knowing that you and I am loved. You see, with my niece and even my nephew, with kids, once they know that you have their best interest at heart, I'm telling you what, friends, they will come back to you and come back to you and come back to you. They will look to you. They will ask you for things. And for the guys in here, the fathers in here, you become the man that can fix everything. For the women in here, you become the mom that can absolutely, you know, take care of anything. That's how God wants you and me to feel about him. Because, friends, that's how he treats you and I. He treats us as members and as a part of his family. And we need to understand that that's his heart. We need to understand the blessings that are at stake. But the third thing is that God wants you and me to bless other people. Let's say that all together. God wants me to bless other people. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to tell you that I don't believe that anybody here in this world can bless anybody if they are not a member of a church. And I don't mean a member of a church. I mean the member of the universal church, the Christian church, the member of God's family. And here's the reason why. Because love doesn't come from you. Love doesn't come from me. True love comes from God. We looked last week that Romans 5:5 said that God's love has been poured out by the Holy Spirit into your heart and my heart. And it's that he loves us so much. So if we cannot truly bless another person outside of being connected with God, this is what is at stake, friends. You see, God has your best interest at heart, and he wants you to receive his blessings. He wants you to receive this best that he has to offer. He wants you to receive that exactly what Jesus is receiving and has received. That's huge. I don't know about you, but I am not God, okay? And I'm never going to claim to be God. And I don't believe that there is anybody alive today that is God. But yet God the Father, he wants to bless you the same way that he is blessing Jesus. The same way that he overlooked Jesus becoming sin. And he said, your sacrifice is complete. Your sacrifice is acceptable. And because of that, Jesus became sin. And he raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at his right hand. The position of authority. God wants to bless you that way. And too often times, because we say, okay, all right, church for me is one Sunday a month. Church for me is maybe Easter and Christmas. Church for me is this and that and the other. Maybe it's not, friends. Maybe it's not. Because if God truly wants you and me to receive his best, and if we truly knew that and understood that and accepted that, I'm here to tell you, I'd be the first in line. I would be the first knocking on his door saying, hey, Lord, I want your best today. I want your best today. And yet our lives don't match up with that. And we've seen what God wants to do for you and for me. And our lives, even the small choices, they don't match up with that. And so either one of two things is happening here. Either we don't believe that God wants to give us his best, or we're not part of his family. And only you know that. That's harsh. But I have a dream. Not to take the late Dr. Martin Luther King's words, but I have a dream to see Christians living and walking empowered, to live and walk in confidence, to see Christians not being beset with fear, to have the confidence that God only can give. That's my dream. My dream is to see believers say, you know what? I don't know what's going to happen, but I know who knows that is going to take place. That's my dream. And far too often, I see Christians that are waffling, and they're just meandering through life. And partially, friends, it's because they're disconnected, and they've got one toe in the water, and they say, you know what? I'm part of God's family. I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. That's all fine and well and good. But has God's love been perfected in your heart? Has God's love been complete, made complete in your heart? If it hasn't, then there's things and practical things that we can do. And this is where I want to go here this morning. And this is where we're going to conclude.
For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen. Sometimes this is difficult because we haven't seen God.
Jesus was crucified and resurrected some 2,000 years ago.
And for us, it's difficult to see. It's difficult to really wrap our minds around. It's difficult to, you know, and when we can't see something. But I'm here to tell you, when you feel the effects, the internal change, the transformation that ripples outward, there is nothing like it. And this is the commandment we have from God. That the person who loves God should love his brother also. You see, friends, Jesus wants you and me to love others as he loves me, unconditionally, offering forgiveness, bearing one another's burdens, to truly support one another, not only with financial means or means of sustenance. You know, he wants us to bear one another's burdens. And when we disconnect from the family of God, I'm going to give you a couple different options, a couple different things that happen when we are connected. You see, Matthew 18, 21 and 22, we are told that we are to unconditionally love one another. I don't know where else in the world that you and I can experience unconditional forgiveness, except at the throne of grace, except at the foot of the cross. And friends, when you and I are living and allowing God's love to be complete and made perfected in our hearts, minds, and souls, you know what happens? Then we begin to love unconditionally and unconditionally forgive other people. And so the gripes and the offenses that we have done to us, they become smaller and smaller and smaller. You want to bless somebody? Let them off the hook. Forgive them. You want to bless someone? Quit holding their feet to the fire and say, I forgive you. There is no other place around this world other than in the family of God, in God's holy family, that you can receive the unconditional forgiveness. Unconditional. There's no other place. There's no other place. Galatians 6 verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You see, Jesus bore our burden, our sin burden. He bore our debt when he paid it, our debt, our sin debt. There's no other place on the face of this earth outside of the family of God that you and I can experience another person bearing our burdens. I don't know about you. There have been times in my life where I've needed somebody to bear my burden. There have been times in my life where I needed somebody to wrap their arm around my shoulder and say, come on, you know, I'm going to pray for you. You can't pray right now. This may sound like heresy. It might sound like horrible, you know, aspect of it. But there have been many times in my life where I have been unable to pray. Unable. God knew that. He knows that. And when we dip our toe in the water and we don't connect with our brothers and sisters in God's family, you know what we're saying? We are alienating ourselves from the opportunity of someone else to bless us and to support us and to bear our burdens. That's what's at stake. That's the nature of God's family. Love perfected. It bears itself out as sacrificing to meet the needs of others. These can be monetary. They can be things that we need. We do that well here, friends. Mosaic Ministry, Western Avenue, Trinity Care, you know, the food pantry here in town. We need to continue to do that and understand what's at stake. And what's at stake is sharing God's love. And when we do those things, we are allowing God to complete and perfect his love in us. But the other thing is this, and sometimes there have been in my life where I've needed someone to come alongside me and help me. There was a period of time in my life where I had to have individual family members and friends where they gave me a white envelope full of cash. I couldn't pay my bills. And they would look at me and they would say, God told me to give this to you. I never uttered a word, but I was connected with his family. And that's what happens when we have things that go on in our life. We tend to pull back and say, you know what? My life isn't perfect. Guess what, friends? My life isn't perfect either. I've got struggles. I've got trials. I've got difficulties every single day. I've got times where I'm absolutely down. I've got times where I'm joyful. I'm higher than a kite, not on dope or anything, but I'm higher. You know, I'm high on the spirit. You know, and the reality is that many of those times when I am down, I need a brother or sister to come alongside me and pick me up and say, you know what, I'm going to pray for you. And when I am up, you know what happens? God brings across my path somebody that is down. And I have the blessing to bless them, to support them, to uplift them. And that is how we can meet the needs of others We can meet it mentally. We can meet it physically. We can meet it emotionally. We can meet those needs in providing sustenance and financially as well as spiritually. But when we disconnect ourselves from God allowing others to be a blessing to you and to me. And so I challenge all of us, and I'm going to give you one more example of what God's love being perfected in your heart, mind, and soul looks like here today. And basically, you know, instead of pulling back and saying, you know what, I've got difficulties and struggles and trials, and I'm not going to go there. What are they going to think of me? You know what, friends? This is where you need to be. This is where you need to be. When you start to feel that I don't need to be at church, it's more than being at church. You need to be here. Because I guarantee you, there's a blessing waiting for you here. And many times, it's not coming in the form of angels singing hallelujah. It doesn't happen that way. It comes in the form of God in another brother and sister in this world. You see, we can't see God. The rest of the world can't see God, but the rest of the world can see you and me. And when we allow God's love to be perfected and made complete in our life, and we live in that love and allow God to live through us, you know what the rest of this world is seeing? They're seeing a picture of God. Now, that is not to say that we are God, because we are not. But it is to say, just as the wind, and Jesus said this, you don't know where the wind comes from, you don't know where it's going, but you see the effects of it. We don't know where God's love comes from. We know it's Him, but we see the effects of it. We see the effects of His love in changing that individual's life, the effects of His love in taking time, as my niece wanted from me. Hey, I want your time. That's what the world is longing for. That's what the world is thirsty for. The last aspect of truly God's love being made perfect is it doesn't tolerate false doctrine or ways that are contrary to His. There have been times in my life I've had to have a brother or sister kind of pull me aside and say, you need to read that passage again. I don't know that you're absolutely right on. There have been times in my life where I've been listening to sermons on the radio. I've been listening to tapes, you know, back in the day when tapes were a thing. Now it's all iPods, it's all, you know, MP3s, it's everything, you know. But I used to literally, on my commute, I would, you know, some of these, you know, ministries, you could, you know, call in and you could request a tape series and mail them back. And I did that for years. And many times these individuals that were sharing God's word, you know, they would convict me. They would get me on the right path. And so when we see God's love being made perfect in another person's life, it manifests itself in many different ways, in unconditional forgiveness, in bearing one another's burdens, in making sacrifice to meet the needs of others, and the ability to speak the truth in love. This is love, friends. This is absolutely love. So you might be here today and you might say, okay, I've come to church and I'm a regular attender. I'm here most Sundays. Okay. My challenge to you, if that is the case, get involved in a small group. Get involved. Get plugged in into a small group here at Trinity. Get involved. And some of us might say, yeah, but I don't like to allow people to get to know me. Yeah, okay. So how much of Jesus' blessing do you want? That's my question. Because when we truly know one another, when we truly live life with one another, when we truly love one another, you can't do that from afar. You see, my nephew's love language is physical touch. Imagine trying for me to hug him when I'm in Northwest Ohio and he's in Northeast Ohio. It's just not going to happen, friends. Kathy and me, we have been doing FaceTime just to connect with one another. And you know what? There have been multiple times where she has said to me and I've said to her, I wish I could give you a hug. It doesn't happen through communication and technology. You can't do it. And you cannot receive God's blessing from afar. I cannot. And many times we tempt to step back. God's saying, step forward. So if you're here and you want more of God, you want more of Him treating you the way He treats His Son, Jesus Christ, then get involved in a small group and stick in there. And don't say, oh, I went wanting and it didn't meet my expectations. Okay. Keep knocking on the door. Knock on the door to heaven. Get involved in a Sunday school class. If you truly want what God wants for you, that's your next step, friends. And when we do that, then we will be like Dr. G. Campbell's wife, who never preached a formal sermon in her life, and yet her life was the sermon. That's what God wants, friends. May we be the sermon to all of those who are watching. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your love. Lord, grant us the courage. Grant us the desire to receive more from you, to receive what you want to give to us. And so, Father in heaven, lead us, I pray. May we have willing hearts and willing minds to allow you to complete and to perfect your love in us. May we truly, truly, truly be a life that is speaking a sermon to others who are watching. I thank you for my friends, Jesus. I thank you, O Christ, for your mercy, your forgiveness, and all that you have blessed us with. We praise you and honor you. In the blessed name of the risen Savior Jesus, we do pray. Amen.
Your love is like radiant diamonds bursting inside us. We cannot contain. Your love will surely confined us like blazing wildfire, singing your name. Your love is like radiant diamonds bursting inside us. We cannot contain. Your love will surely confined us like blazing wildfire, singing your name. God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this offering stretch across the skies. It means hallelujahs be multiplied. To your design. May this be multiplied. Your love is like radiant diamonds bursting inside us. We cannot contain. Your love will surely confine us like blazing wildfire, singing your name.
As we close here this morning, I truly hope and I pray that God's love would truly be like radiant diamonds bursting inside of you as you and I go forth. And may others see your life as a sermon, as a written message, as a letter showing the glory of God to all who watch and see. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you and I truly experience the love that is perfected in your life and mine. Amen. Amen.